across the sea, got out of a boat, and he was on the shore side. And here comes this ruler of, now this ruler was a somebody that was like a deacon in the church, that he prepared for the worship. He prepared that the priest may be able to operate in their fullness. And he was the one that made sure that everything was right. He kind of like a Brother Greg in our church. He made sure the church signs are out. He made sure that everything is right in the temple. See, the thing is, he wasn't the final administration. He worked under administration, and this man began to fall at the feet of Jesus. People knew who he was and where he belonged. And for him to fall at the feet of Jesus and not go to the high priest meant he would lose his position in the temple. But he fell at the feet of Jesus and come to my house. For my only daughter, that's 12 years old, you'll find that in Mark, the 5th chapter, is laying dying. And Jesus starts walking with Jairus. Some call him Jairus. I call him Jairus. Ruler of the temple. But immediately when God begins to walk with him to his miracle, he has interruptions on his way there. What's the first one? Other people in your way. Other people thronging him and slowing the miracle down. Other people wanting to be first. There's a minister here that you know you have ministry in your life, but it seems like every time that you step forward, someone else steps in and says, I'm better. I'm bigger. They push you out of the way.
There's a place, a deep.
Have you ever been there? God, you called me in. But nobody really sees what you've equipped me to do. Jesus hasn't quit walking with you. It's a timing thing. Jesus needs Jairus to see another miracle on his way to his. In other words, your position in your church isn't the reason I'm answering your prayer. Your political positions in your community isn't the reason why I'm answering your prayer. That's not the reason I'm going to your house. There's other people that is touching me. And there's other people that was close to me. But you stay close to me.
Your life appears, then you will also appear with him in glory.
Can I share something with you? I didn't have any plans of talking about the woman at the well, but she had to get close enough to Jesus and let him go deep enough in her life before she could ever walk. Do you know that's the first evangelist in Samaria? Who? A woman been married 5 times and shacked up? Because she was in sin, she lived in sin, and she lived like a sinner. But when she met Christ, I'm sure all that changed. Woo, come on. Can somebody go ahead and give God some praise in this house? When you met Christ, something changed. Sarah, there's levels of victories for you. Take that next step. Those next steps seem to be hard to take, but it's a higher level. And somebody's going to hear what you got to say. You're facing the crowd right now. But on that next level, some people have never got there. Now, some people have never gotten there, but guess what? You're taking that next step. That's for you, Sierra. Then all at once, in the book of Luke, the 8th chapter, there is a great interruption. Not only does it cause the crowd to throng him and close to him, but it stops Jesus and changes his focus in Jairus' eyes. Jesus already agreed to go and do what Jairus asked him to do, to go to his house and heal his dying daughter. A woman with an issue. I've heard it preached. We all have issues. She had a physical issue of bleeding that could not be stopped. She'd spent all that she'd ever earned, and the issue was still there. Other physicians took, but never gave healing. I hope this is helping someone today. If it's not helping you, it sure is helping me. This woman reached out and touched the hem of his garment and said within herself, if I could just touch his clothes, I know I'll be made whole. I wonder if it was the request of Jairus that invoked her faith to a level to touch him. She was in the crowd concealing her issue. But she saw the ruler of the temple fall down and said, will you come and touch my daughter? And this woman says, he touches women. We're nothing in our culture. We're just a possession. We're a slave unto men. We're a slave unto society. We're nobody. We can be easily replaced. We can easily be stoned to death. But Jesus agreed to go touch his daughter. And if he's going to raise up a dying daughter, he's going to heal me, I know, right now. And come on, all at once, what thronged her didn't stop her from reaching him. The same crowd, come on. The same crowd, the same situation, the same. Eyes, ears that heard Jairus. Now was interrupting Jairus, but helping another. See, to Jairus, this woman grabbing a hold of his garment, being healed and talking and having dialogue with Jesus, and Jesus having dialogue with the disciples and all these things that was going on. It wasn't something big and fancy to Jairus. His daughter was dying, and this is interruptions.
I'm not going back to church no more. They didn't treat me right.
I didn't know it was all about you. Because other people aren't going to treat you right. But Jesus will.
Are you determining the future of your walk with God because of the crowd that thronged him? Are you determining your call and your work in God because somebody with ignorance didn't know how to talk to you? But Jesus does, and he's going to take you to that
well, I want to pastor a church, then you got to know how to handle the problems of a church. Ooh, hello, somebody.
I want to evangelize and travel,
then you're going to have to know the rejection that comes with it. Because not everybody's going to like you. I sure like to be like them, no? Be like you. And let God use you. I remember in my younger years, I was around Rod Parsley. I was around some other ministers, and we got to meet with Jesse Duplantis and all of this other stuff. And I know I'm dropping names for just a moment, but you know what? You know these people, and so do I. And I tried to be like them because I was hoping to be accepted, since they preach like this and they preach like that. Man, that's the way I need to be preaching. Oh, T.D. Jakes, been with him. Get rid of, get rid of, get rid of him. I don't know how many times we've been around Rod Parsley. Anybody know him? There was one day that I finally realized. My issues were different than theirs. And I had to do it the way he called me to. So I just started walking with him. Had the other people. They had their opinions.
I don't like the way Bishop's doing this.
He may not like what you're doing either. But he's not attacking you. He just keeps on loving you. Because you know what? I've learned how to walk with God. And know you have issues too. And so do I. And if I can teach you and I can get you close enough to sow into you and I can enlighten you, we can just start walking with him together.
Yeah. Well, he's real strict.
You been around Jesus much?
He said, my word will never pass away. I am the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. I don't change.
Quit trying to change what the gospel does and do what I called you to do. He said, you love me if you keep my commandments. That's pretty strict. Paul says, do we live in sin? He said, God forbid. Quit expecting a heaven outcome on a hell action. Hating, cursing, despising people. That's not in Christ. Christ don't act that way. They don't sit at the tables and tear down their church, and they don't sit at the table and tear down their neighbors. You go to them and try to help them and love them. Because you may be the only love they all ever see. Second of all, somebody receives their miracle before you do. They get their miracle before you do. Somebody else comes in. That's still part of the other people. Number three, news of disappointments. And all at once, this woman gets healed. This lady touches the hem of his garment. All of these wonderful things, there's a message within that. But all at once, you get down to, while he yet spake, Jesus speaking to the woman said, daughter, be of good comfort. Thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace. While he was saying that, people didn't respect the master and come in and butted in the middle of what he was saying. Because it says, while he yet spake. There's a lot in the word of God. There cometh one from the rulers of the synagogue's house. And I'm in Luke 8 and verses 49. Saying to him, thy daughter is dead. Trouble the master, not the master. You can believe on Christ to heal, but it's over. It's dead. News of disappointments. Most time you'll hear the worst words from the people within your very doors of your home. They'll fight against your call. Because why? They're not the one called, you are. They don't see your calling, you do. Don't expect them to affirm you until they've talked with Christ. Amen? Well, what are you talking about? I'm not trying to isolate this. If it feels like I'm preaching at you today, I am not preaching at a specific person. I'm preaching what God's given me. God gave me this thing yesterday morning. He told me he wanted me to go back to archive of a sermon I preached years ago. Interruptions on your way to your miracle. September 11th, 9:45 in the morning. It's a Sunday morning. Look it up on your Google. 1983, September 11th, Sunday morning. 9:45 in the morning, Cow Creek Road. I lived on Chicken Farm. You want to know how country I am? That they'll even name the names of the road out of Cow Creek and Chicken Farm. West Virginia is where the toothpick was invented. Be anywhere else, be toothpick, but go ahead. Hey, I'm from there. They have parties when you lose teeth. Oh, I'm sorry. Well, don't you, when your little kids lose the teeth? Oh, look, he lost the tooth. Don't say that when they're adults. Brother John, I was called that morning, sitting in the back seat right behind the driver. I was holding my Bible in my hand, and I felt this urgency in the spirit, and I couldn't understand what it was. I knew the Lord wanted to speak to me about something. I felt something in the spiritual, but I didn't know what it was. And I felt in my spirit, as God spoke to me, he said, just open your Bible and open up to Isaiah 61. I begin to read. He has called me to preach good tidings unto the meek. I said, God, I can't preach. I keep singing. I was on my way to a Nazarene church to sing that day in Taze Valley, West Virginia. September the 11th of 2018, I celebrated my 35th year of being called to the gospel.
Well, you've had a pretty good life.
Only when I get back to where he's at and push through the crowd like the woman. See, they had to push through the crowd too. And sometimes Jesus is having to push through the crowds to get to you as you get to him. Have you ever thought about that? Jesus kept moving forward after he looked at her and said, "Daughter, thy faith has made thee whole." And here comes that synagogue. Right in the middle of it, the ruler's house, and comes the worst news. You are nothing. You ain't going to amount to nothing. I was so excited. My biological mother was a pastor with the Church of God. And I called her up and I said, "Mom, I got called to preach this morning." But all she can remember is my hatred and hurt and pain and fighting. And, "Well, Timmy, you just keep singing, buddy. That's nice, but you just keep singing." I didn't get affirmation. But she wasn't the one that told me to open my Bible that Sunday morning. She didn't know my future. She didn't know that we'd have a church called the River Fellowship that nobody wanted to come to fruition. But God is in the middle of this thing, and God is raising up disciples. See, God looked into my future. God looked down into the next generation. God looked past who I was and all the failures that I would have. He looked past my issue. He looked past and said, "I've got a plan, and I will do this thing in you." Can somebody give God praise? They're just interruptions on your way to your miracle. Yes, you're going to mess up. Yes, you're going to have failures. Yes, you're not going to do it the right way. Yes, you're going to act like you're not supposed to act. Well, where's that in this story? There was an action that Jairus did that Jesus had to call him down. People come from his house. News of disappointment shows up. And all at once, Jesus looks over and sees the fear overcome Jairus. He may pick up the weed. He maybe couldn't breathe. It's his baby. It's his daughter, 12-year-old. She just died. He got the worst news in life. "My child just died." He could have felt like he was fainting. And Jesus said, "Fear not, only believe." In the middle of the worst news of your life, you still need to hold on to what you believe he's doing in your life. It's not what it is now. It's what he promised it would be. And when you get a hold of the now road, what he's doing tomorrow, he's starting it today. It's already began. You're already walking in the fruition of it. But my friend, when I'm cooking a dish and I like to cook and I like to make different things, it takes steps. It takes a little time. But at the end, when we put it on the plate, you sit down at the dinner table. My friend, the time was worth it. Can somebody say, "I'm going to eat, I'm going to walk, I'm going to talk, I'm not giving up"? But Jesus heard it and he answered him saying, "Fear not, believe only, and she shall be made." I'm not only going to wake her up from the dead, she's not going to have that sickness when I do. And when he came into the house, he suffered no man to go in save Peter and James and John, the father and the mother of the maiden. You got the grievers and the complainers are going to meet you. You need to be careful who you allow in your inner circle of faith. They're not going to believe the way you believe. Because they haven't had the same talk you have had with God. They don't have the call that you have with God. And sometimes you just need to get them out of your life. When somebody can walk away from you, when somebody can come against you, let them go.
Come on, my friend.
When they think that you're not good enough and they're walking away from you. I watched a thing on the a video not too long ago. It said, just let them go. Hello? Some of you are trying to hang on to something that ain't nothing but that won't be your destruction. Oh, no, you didn't say that, Bishop. I've preached this for years. There's some folks I'll say hello to, but I don't let them in. Because you know why? It's the last one. They become the naysayers. Now, I'm not telling you to leave your husband and leave your wife. I'm not saying that at all. You need to get that healed. I'm talking about those that go around talking negative all the time. I'm talking about those that go around all the time tearing down your faith in God. I'm talking about those that can't see what God called you to. I'm talking about those that, you know what I finally had to do? I love my biological mama and I miss her. She's been gone for 15 years. She's in heaven and I know she, but she couldn't see what I saw in God. And I had to let that part go. I still love mom, but I didn't have to take that junk that says you just keep on singing. My God just taught me to preach his word. And he said to do it, I was going to do it. Jesus wouldn't let the rest of them go in because why? They were joining the crowd of mourning and groaning and grieving and complaining and the naysayers. I wonder if old James, Peter, James, and John was over there and said, watch this, God's going to take care of this thing. And the rest of them going, well, she's dead, huh? He said, I know which ones to take with me. To the next level. Say, God's taking care of this thing. God's got this thing. I'm going to be just fine. And what it is all these things have been interruptions on your way to the miracle. I know I've preached you for an hour, but this is the way God wanted it. If they want to walk away, they want to walk out of church. You know, somebody says, well, aren't you going to go run and get them? If they don't want to be in the church, let them go. Why? Because if they don't want to be here, it ain't going to be nothing but trouble. I'm looking for those that got a vision that say, you know what? We're going to run with this thing. We're going to walk with him. We're going forward. Well, I just quit paying my tithe, you robber. You're the one that's going to shut up the windows of heaven on you. That's in between you and God. It ain't between me, you and God. Hello?
Am I preaching okay, Brother David?
You see, right now I ain't preaching about to no one, and I'm not trying to impress no one. I feel the unction of the Holy Spirit. I feel the unction of the preacher in my heart. My God, I'm preaching that, you know what? There's going to be some obstacles on our way to going where this river of the fellowship needs to go. But we're not giving up. We're not giving in to those things. We're not going to go, oh, they said this, they said that. What did God say? What did he put forward? What has he blessed? Look around you and see for yourself. What other church in 1 year's time has reached what we've already reached? We've got two associate pastors and we got more coming. Can you give God praise in this place? We're getting men and women equipped with maturity and spiritual word. We got a school of ministry. Boy, and I don't tell you, 42 weeks, they're going to be shouting, jumping, putting my. Forty-2 weeks, brother, we get to dance before God, and that's just the first year. Mm-hmm. He says, she shall be made whole. Anything that God speaks prophetic, it's going to come to pass. I said anything that God speaks is prophetic. It's going to come to pass. If it hadn't already taken place, it's going to take place. He said his word will not return unto him void. And he's a man. He what? He's a God that cannot lie. Right. Woo! All these people, but you done this, but you done that. Like God don't know? I can't believe you done that. Can you believe you forgave me? Yeah! Some of us have fallen down. Oh, God, I've done this! Yeah, I know. What? I know. See, when you learn my character, you'll know what I'm about. I want to forgive you. I want to forgive you so much that my whole plan of eternity is based upon me forgiving you. We stay the same because we don't think he can change it. I'm so glad he's still working on me. Well, Bishop, you don't make the mistakes I make, and you don't make the ones I make. This church is a team. It's an army. It's not my church, it's our church. He said, where two or three are gathered in my name, I shall be in the midst of them. I need somebody to be with me so I can be in his presence. Come on. I'm not saying you're not in the presence, because you always had the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. When you're praying alone, you're in his presence. But I'm talking about when we come into agreement, when we come into the house of God. Some people say, well, I can watch church on TV. It's not the same. He said, fail not to assemble yourself together. I'm so glad that you chose this day. I don't know how far Jairus lived away from the seashore that he met Jesus. I don't know where his house was located. I just know that there was a dead daughter and all hope was gone. And the only hope they had was his word. Some of us need to give up on our plan and get back to the plan of God. Have you ever prayed, God, is this what you want? I want this, but is this what you want? All at once, you start hearing his word and things start happening around you and go, oh, I didn't see that. Have you ever been there? Brother David, I'm going to reiterate a word that was spoken to you years ago, and I've not asked you, nor has it been in our dialogue or conversations at any time. He said, I'll open a door unto you that no man can shut. It's opening. He said, the latter state of this house shall be greater than its former. And the mantle of your father shall be carried on, because God's going to use you greatly. Can somebody give God praise in this house? Why? Quit looking for the crowds. Oh, I had to preach right there. His miracle wasn't in the crowd. His miracle wasn't watching other people be miraculously healed. His miracle, guess what? Was in Jairus following Jesus and trusting in his prophetic word. His miracle wasn't waiting for gossip to overtake him. His miracle didn't take place because mom and daddy wanted it to happen. Some of your mom and daddy called to preach and you don't need to be preaching at all. Hello? But when it's they don't agree with you being called to be a preacher, you follow? When they can't believe that that young boy that was in a gang is preaching the gospel and reaching people for Christ. You're going to have a unique way of reaching people. And God said, I'm removing some of the things of the crowd out of your life. Hallelujah. It's going to get better and better, Joe. Surely the presence of the Lord is in this place. I can feel his mighty power and his grace. I can hear the rush of angels' wings. I see glory on each face. Surely the presence of the Lord is in this place. If you sat here today and that's all you can think about is what you're going through,
the presence,
and not a heard a word that I've preached, it's because your problem is bigger than God's promises in your life.
I can feel his mighty power.
Pull that up, brother.
I can hear the rush of angels.
I can hear the brush of angels.
I see glory.
On each face, surely the presence.